Good to be here this evening. Just a little disclaimer, I am officially on vacation. So if this sermon is a bit weak, that's my excuse, all right? I started vacation at 12:30 this afternoon. Drove down from Michigan, crossed the border, and then drove past all the tax collectors on the way here. Those, you know, those tax collectors with the silver cars with the lights on top, managed to get past them all. And it's been a good service. I enjoyed fellowship, a little bit of fellowship and singing, and good to be with you here this evening. And I want to be a blessing to you, 1 Samuel chapter 17. It feels like wasn't that long ago that we were here. I guess it was just about a month ago, but good to be back again. And 1 Samuel 17, we're going to get right into the message. 1 Samuel 17, verse 40. We'll pick up in verse 40. The Bible says here, talking about David, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Now skip down to verse 48. Verse 48, and it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I want to draw your attention back now to verse 40 where we started. And I want you to notice he took his staff in his hand and chose him, how many? Five smooth stones. The thought I want to preach to you tonight is this: one down, four to go. One down, four to go. Let's bow our heads forward to prayer. Father, it is good to be saved. Lord, it is good to be in church on a Sunday evening. Father, I don't want to be anywhere else. And I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to be a help to Bible Baptist Church and to be an encouragement, Lord. You know my heart. Father, I need you. I can't do this without you. And I don't want to do it without you. And I just pray, Lord, that knowing that you know every heart, every life, what each person is facing here tonight, that you would take the Word of God and that the Spirit of God would apply it to each one. Father, I thank you. I don't have to ask you to come and to be with us. Father, I know there's a promise that you're here right now, that you're with me. And I thank you for that promise. Lord, my prayer is that you would manifest yourself through your Word, through the working of the Spirit of God. Show yourself tonight, Father. We need you. Lord, how we need you. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I get into this message, I just want to be honest with you. I want to be a blessing to you. Anytime God challenges me from His Word, I get blessed by it. I want to share that blessing with others. And God's called me to preach, and that's a means through which I can be a blessing to others. We read here in 1 Samuel chapter 17, David leaves the presence of Saul, and he goes out to face the giant, Goliath. And as he's walking down into the valley of Elah, he pauses at a brook, little stream there, and with a keen eye, he carefully selects not one, right, but five smooth stones, slinging stones. These are his ammunition. And he takes those five bullets, those five smooth stones, and he puts them in his scrip. He puts them in that little bag that is slung over his shoulder. He takes five. Why five? Have you ever thought about that? Some of you may already know the answer to this. But why five smooth stones? Why not one? He only had one giant to face, right? I mean, it was just one giant that was standing out there taunting him, but he took five smooth stones. This seems a little crazy, but some have suggested he took five in case he missed. Now, you know David, right? And you know the story, and you know the boldness and the courage and the confidence of David, that when he walked out to face that giant, he was not afraid of missing, right? I mean, he said, the Lord's going to give your head and your carcass to the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. He knew he was going to defeat the giant. He wasn't worried about missing. Some have suggested because five is the number of death, and that's certainly a valid point. Others have thrown out other guesses. We know that it's significant, right? Because why would God point out in Holy Scripture, eternal Scripture, the number five as David chose them? It was not by accident. It was not a coincidence. He chose five smooth stones on purpose, and the Bible makes specific mention of those five smooth stones. I believe our answer is found if you turn over to 2 Samuel chapter 21. Go to 2 Samuel 21. 40 years later, David is still battling, and he's still facing his old enemy, the Philistines. And I believe we find our answer in 2 Samuel 21. I want to read a few verses here just to lay the groundwork on what I'm going to preach tonight. Look at verse 15. We're going to read through the end of the chapter. Please follow along as I read. It's so important that you see this. 2 Samuel 21, verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, what a great name. All right? If you need any baby names, Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. He, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David, but Abishai, the son of Zariah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. Then Sibbecai the Hushathite slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistines, where Elhanan the son of Jorogorim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers and on every foot 6 toes, 4 and 20. You want this guy on your basketball team. Or if you're picking people for dodgeball, you want this guy. 4 and 20 in number. And he also was born to the giant. When he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, the brother of David, slew him. These, how many? 4 were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. Folks, I believe when we compare Scripture with Scripture, we have our answer. I believe that David took those 4 extra stones because he knew, as Goliath stood on that hillside facing him and taunting him, he knew that great giant had 4 little baby giants. How do you like that? Baby giants? 4 little giant babies growing up in this hometown of Gath. And he knew that if he were to kill, not if, but when he killed this giant, those 4 would come back to what? To seek revenge for the killing of their father. I mean, study your Bible. When a father was killed, when someone prominent was killed, the family always sought revenge. And David knew in his heart of hearts that when he was going to slay this giant, those 4 sons of the giant that were still growing up in that hometown of Gath, he knew that one day they would be great warriors. He knew that one day they would be in the armies of the Philistines. He knew that one day they would grow up to face him. And he took those 4 stones knowing those 4 sons were coming and would want to avenge their father. He knew that when he killed Goliath, that was not the last battle he'd have to fight. If you study World War II history and you remember the attack of Japan on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941, the admiral who planned that attack, the Japanese admiral Yamamoto, he wrote days later in his diary, he wrote this, "I fear all we have done is to what? Awaken a sleeping giant." See, that admiral knew when he attacked Pearl Harbor that that was just the beginning. And he had that fear in his heart that he had awakened the military might of the strongest nation. He had awakened the rage and the wrath of the American military. He said, "I'm afraid all we've done is awaken the sleeping giant." And David knew when he was walking out to face that giant, in his heart he knew God was going to give him the ability to kill that giant, but he also knew that just around the corner were four more giants coming for him. Christian, may I remind you today, we're in a spiritual battle. In case you just need a reminder, we are in a spiritual battle. We are not only fighting for souls, but we are fighting for their lives. We are fighting for our children. We are fighting for our churches. We are fighting for our country. We are fighting for our beliefs. We are fighting for the Word of God. Folks, we are in a battle. And too often, we as Christians, we sit back and we get complacent and we forget. And then when difficulty comes, we act like we're shocked. Like, why is this happening? Because you're in a battle. That's why this is happening. When difficulty comes, sometimes we assume, oh, I must have done something wrong. And sometimes it is. Sometimes that we sin and God has to chasten us. But remember, sometimes it is that we're in a battle and the reason that difficulty comes is because there is opposition. The world is opposing us. The devil is opposing us. Our own flesh is resisting us. We're in a battle. Lester Roloff, the evangelist, used to sing that song. It's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. So run if you want to, run if you will, but I came here to stay. See, folks understood that we're in a battle and we need to be reminded. And I think as we study this passage and look at a few things, it gives us some important spiritual lessons that we can learn from David's history of battles. And they're just simple principles. Number one, we will always battle giants. Amen? I know it's not very positive. That's all I got for you tonight, all right? We will always battle giants. Notice the passage we read. Look at verse 15. "Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again." You see it? Look at verse 18. "And it came to pass after this that there was again a battle." Look at verse 19. "And there was again a battle." You getting the pattern? Even verse 20. "And there was yet a battle." How nice it would have been for David if when he walked into the valley of Elah to face Goliath, if that would have been his first battle and his last battle. Wouldn't that have been nice? But Christian, wouldn't it also have been nice that when you got saved, that was the last battle you'd ever have to fight? And some of you know, just getting saved was a great battle. There was resistance in your heart, but God overcame that resistance and you yielded and the Spirit of God worked on your heart and you responded to the gospel and God won a victory when you got saved. And the devil lost, and God won your soul, right? Wouldn't it be great if that was the last battle? But you know what? That was just the first battle. In fact, that's when the warfare really started. That's when the heat came on. That's when it really got rough, because we make a decision that we're now in the Lord's army, I've enlisted in the fight, and now I've got to fight some battles. And we're going to fight battles. It wasn't possible for David for it to end with Goliath, and it's not possible for you and I. I mean, the Philistines, they were Israel's perpetual enemy. Again, again, again. They fought a battle, they won it, and they faced them again. They defeated them, and then later, they faced them again. And it was battle after battle after battle. Those of you I'm talking to that you've been saved for many years, you know The Christian life is a series of battles, isn't it? I mean, it's a warfare. And you read about these giants that were in their ranks. So it wasn't just that they were fighting battles, but there were certain giants. Ishbi-Benob, Saph, Lami, and then you've got this freak with the 24 fingers and toes. 6 fingers on each hand and 6 toes on each foot. And these are not fairy tales, all right? This is not some fairy tale book that we're reading. These men really existed. These men really came to the nation of Israel and opposed them and fought against them. These are real things. But they're multiple battles. Multiple giants. Defeat one, here comes another. Knock that one out, and another comes to take his place. One after another after another. And it would be great. I would love to be able to plaster on a big smile and be a televangelist and tell you that you got the victory and you'll never have to do anything else again. God's just going to prosper you and bless you. But folks, the truth is, life is hard. And we face battles. We fight spiritual battles. We fight financial battles. We fight battles within our family. We face battles all over the place, in church, in the workplace. We have giants to face. And I know I'm talking to real people here tonight. And I would guarantee in a room this size that I'm talking to some people that folks, I'm not trying to discourage you tonight. In fact, just the opposite. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And don't cower and don't retreat and don't back off. Understand, we're in a spiritual battle. Stand up. Face those giants. Fight against those giants. It's the Christians that give up and quit that have been defeated by the giants. Hey, if you're still here tonight and you're still fighting that giant, well then amen, praise the Lord. At least you're still here fighting. Face that giant. Be strong. Face down those giants because God's called you to fight giants. God has called you to overcome sin. God has called you to find strength in Him. God has called you into this spiritual fight. Don't back down. Face that giant. Fight that giant, because you're always going to fight giants. The second thing we see, not only will we always battle giants, but some giants, here's the second thing, some giants cannot be defeated alone. Some giants cannot be defeated alone. Now let me ask you, you know the answer to this. Who killed Goliath? Come on now, help me out. Who killed Goliath? It's not a trick question. All right, I hear kids saying it. Come on, adults. Help out the kids. David. All right, not a trick question. David killed Goliath. And David, we're seeing here, picked up four additional stones, not because he was afraid he was going to miss on the first or second attempt, but he knew those four sons were waiting at home in Gath. But who killed those four sons? Do you know? It wasn't David. David picked up those four additional stones, but David never used those slinging stones. The famous giant slayer, I mean, right? David, the David of David and Goliath. He's the man. He's the giant slayer. He never used those four stones. Who killed the sons of the giant? He had four sons. Who killed them? Abishai, Sibbecai, Elhanan, and Jonathan, David's own nephew, killed those four giants. Well, I got to ask the question, why didn't David do it? They were his giants, weren't they? I mean, he killed the father. They were going to come seeking revenge. It was his duty to slay those giants and finish the job. It is why he took those four additional stones. That was his responsibility, but he never finished them off. These four men did. Why didn't David do it? Well, look at verse 15. Look at verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines. What's the end of the verse say? And David waxed faint. You know why David didn't kill those giants? Are you ready for this? He couldn't. You say, David? The famous giant slayer could not kill a giant? That's what the Bible's telling me. It's telling me that David's out there in the battle and he's no longer that young man of 1 Samuel 17. He's fought many battles. He's shed a lot of blood. He has traversed all over these different countries and fighting many different enemies. Now he's getting to be an older man, but he's still out there slinging his sword and fighting in these battles. And all of a sudden he's in this battle, and up over the crest of the hill comes Ishbi-Benob, and he knows who that man is. He's one of the sons of the giant. And Ishbi-Benob spies King David, and he just starts charging right at him, and he takes a swing at David, and David lifts that sword and wards off that first blow, and here he comes back at him, and David knows he doesn't have any strength. He doesn't have what it takes. That giant is about to kill him. The Bible says, but Abishai. Oh, I like the Bible, don't you? People get bored with the Bible. I don't get bored with the Bible. Because I picture in my mind what's happening here, and David is waxing faint. He's getting very weary, and he can't lift that sword anymore. He's fought too many battles. He's getting weary. And just as that giant is coming down with that spear, ready to stab David to the ground, here comes Abishai and knocks that spear. And the Bible says that he succored him. What a great word. It means to run to support. It means to relieve when in difficulty or distress. It means to assist and deliver. He succored him. He stepped in between David and the giant, and he drew the giant's attention, and he defeated the giant for David. Thank God for Abishai's. Thank God for pastors who will pray with you and preach to you and intercede for you and love you and care about you, because you've got giants to face and you can't face them alone. And so God gives us pastors and He gives us teachers and He puts us in a church family because we can't face giants alone. You can't do it alone. You hear me? You can't do it alone. You know, if you think that you can face all your giants alone, while David, the giant slayer, couldn't do it, I would call that arrogance. In Christian love, I would call that arrogance. David couldn't do it. Why do you think you can? David couldn't do it. Why would I think I can? God has put people around us to help us kill some giants. And you look at the rest of this passage, and each one of these men, David was getting old, David was getting weary, David couldn't do it. Whatever the circumstances were, David did not kill those giants, though they were his giants to kill. And these men, one by one, stepped in. Boy, I thank God for the Christian friends that God has put in my life. Godly men, godly preachers, many of whom I got to know growing up in church. I mean, last week we were at Camp Victory and Brother Robbie Morrison was preaching there. I spent so much time yakking his ear off. I mean, and it was just great fellowship, and he gave me godly advice. I've known Brother Robbie since, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago when we were going, what was that ice cream place? Brighton's. Brighton's, it's shut down now. You remember Brighton's? Yeah, that was a great place. I don't know why it went out of business. But I remember him from then. I was friends with his kids, and now all his kids are in the ministry. His boys are pastoring. His daughter's a pastor's wife, and they're all busy in the ministry. I'm thankful that God allowed me to grow up in church and to be surrounded by good people, because now, as an adult, I'm trying to fight battles, I'm trying to serve the Lord, and God has placed godly men and women around me and Christian friends, and I love my church family because I can pray with them on Wednesday nights, and I can go out to dinner with some of them and have coffee and come over to my house, and we fellowship and we socialize, and we're supporting each other because I can't face all my giants alone. And there are people that I have relied on that I've gone to and said, hey, I'm dealing with this. I need counsel. I need advice. Show me. Teach me. What do you think? There are people that I've gone to and I've said, pray for me about this thing. Why? Because I know I can't do it alone. You know the two most humbling words in the English language? Help me. It's hard to say, isn't it? Maybe almost as hard as, I'm sorry. Maybe it's equal there. But help me. People have a hard time saying, help me. They have a hard time coming to their pastor. They have a hard time coming to their spouse. They have a hard time coming to another Christian friend and simply to say, help me. You ought to learn to say it. In fact, you ought to just go home tonight and practice in the mirror, all right? Just look in the mirror and say, help me. And once you get a glimpse, you'll say, yeah, I do need help. Help me. The battle is the Lord's. Yeah, the battle is the Lord's. But He's given you fellow soldiers. Boy, listen to me tonight. Even the Apostle Paul spoke of other Christians as what? My fellow soldier. My fellow soldier in multiple places. He said, this one who's right beside me, fighting the battles, and they've supported me, and I've helped them. I want you to see something. This is really cool. Look over at 2 Samuel chapter 10. You're in chapter 21. Just go back to chapter 10. Here's some other great Old Testament soldiers. And in 2 Samuel 10, you got Joab and his brother, and they're fighting a battle. Notice just one verse I want you to see here. 2 Samuel 10, verse 11. 2 Samuel 10, verse 11. Get there, I want you to see it. Verse 11. And this is talking about Joab. Joab, he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt, what? Help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and what? Help thee. Boy, I love that, don't you? It's two brothers, Joab and Abishai, and they're going to face the Ammonites and the Syrians. And they're surrounded. And you got the Ammonites on one side and the Syrians on the other side. And Joab looks over his shoulder at his brother. He says, hey, listen, we're in a fight. We're in a battle. He says, if they start overcoming me, if I can't defeat them, I'm going to call out to you, help me. And he says, Abishai, if they start overcoming you, you just give a shout, help me, and I'll come help you. Christian, we are often too proud to say those words. Help me. Help me. You know what some of you need to do? And I'm not reading your mail tonight. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I guarantee I'm talking to some tonight. What you need to do after this service tonight is go sit down and say, Pastor, help me. Help me. I guarantee you your pastor will help you, whatever it is. Pastor, I've got a giant. Help me. He's not going to look down on you. He's not going to snub his nose at you. You know what he's going to do? He's going to help you. Because you can't face the giant alone. Some of you need to go to your spouse and say, help me. Help me. Some of you need to call a Christian that you respect, that you can rely on, that you can confide in. You need to call them up and say, hey, can we just go out for coffee or for dinner? And then you need to sit down with them and say, help me. You hear me tonight? You can't face it alone. You know, it's interesting. Sin carries within it a kernel of self-deceit. And what I mean by that is, we not only allow sin in our lives, but sin always carries with it this element of deceiving ourselves. I can get over it. I can handle it. I can defeat it alone. And it grips our hearts. It's got a grip in our life. It's become a habit. But we keep telling ourselves, I can handle it. I'll beat it this time. I don't need to tell my pastor. I don't need to get any help. I don't need to ask anyone to pray for me. I don't need to tell my spouse. I don't need to get a prayer partner. I got this. And you know, there are some Christians that will go for 5 years. I got this. 10 years. I got this. 15 years. And what's happening? Time is passing. And all the time, they're telling themselves, I got it. I got it. I got it. And before you know it, you've spent your whole life telling yourself that you can handle something, and all you've got to go do is find an Abishai. Say, hey, I don't got it. I can't handle it. Help me. Help me. You know what some of you Christians need to do tonight? You need to find an Abishai. You need to find someone. And again, I don't want to be redundant, but go to your pastor, go to your spouse, go to a Christian friend. Just sit down, have coffee with someone. It doesn't have to be dramatic. It doesn't have to be elaborate. But just confide in someone and say, I've got a giant in my life that I cannot overcome. I cannot defeat. Help me. I beg you, do it. Because some giants can't be faced alone. Here's the last point I want to move on to. All right, so number one, we'll always battle giants. Number two, some giants cannot be defeated alone. Number three, giants can and must be defeated. Giants can and must be defeated. Look at verse 22. All right, we're back in 2 Samuel 21. We're finishing up here. Look at verse 22. 2 Samuel 21, very last verse, verse 22. Notice here, these four were born to the giant in Gath. Yes, four were born. Yes, four giants existed. Four giants lived, and they lived for one purpose, to oppose David. That was their aim in life. So folks, guess what? Yes, there will be giants. But notice, and fell. You see that? And fell. Yes, they were born, but it says they were born and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Giants are made to be defeated. They are. I mean, we're talking about spiritual giants. We're talking about the giants of the Bible. I mean, you read these verses. Verse 17, you know what happened to the first giant? Killed. Verse 18, the second giant? Slew. The third giant, verse 19, slew. Verse 21, the fourth giant? Slew him. Each one was born, each one lived, each one opposed David, but each one fell. Because giants are made to be defeated. And you're looking at that giant in your life right now and you're saying, I'll never defeat it. But listen to me tonight. God wants you to defeat it and you can defeat it. Can I just testify a little bit here tonight? I look back on my life. There were giants in my life. I said, I'll never get victory over this. But that giant's gone. Gone. Giant's gone. Killed. Done. Defeated. God gave me victory over it. And now I'm facing other giants. So why would I think, if God's defeated those giants, why would God not give me the strength and the grace and the ability to defeat the ones I'm facing today? Amen? Giants are meant to be defeated. Have you ever looked at the giants in the Bible? Genesis chapter 6. There were giants in the earth in those days. What happened to those giants? God wiped them out with a flood and delivered Noah and his family. Joshua 13, verse 12, we read, all the kingdom of Og and Bashan who remained of the remnant of the giants. Listen, for these did Moses smite and cast them out. And then we come to Goliath and his four sons. Every one of them. Goliath, defeated. His four sons, defeated. Folks, I'm just trying to help you tonight. Giants are made to be defeated. And we've convinced ourselves that there are some giants we're doomed to live with forever. Oh, we're doomed to fight with those giants forever. Oh, I come to church on Sunday, pastor encourages me with a good sermon, I get fired up, but then I go to work Monday morning and there's that giant. I go home and there's that giant. And we've convinced ourselves we're always going to live with that giant, we're always going to face that giant. God forbid. God forbid. Don't give in to that thought. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you're always going to live with that giant. Giants are meant to be defeated. But you got to take the right steps. One down, four to go. And you may have defeated some giants, but I'm just here to remind you tonight, there's more. There's more to face. There's more to fight. But there's more to finish off. And I hope God gives you the wisdom, the motivation, the desire, and the practical steps that you're going to need to take tonight to defeat that giant. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. I'm going to ask your pastor to come and to take the service from here and take the invitation. If God's spoken to your heart, maybe there's some giant you got to face. Maybe there's a conversation that you need to have to go to someone and say, help me. I can't defeat this giant alone. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's always faithful because you're always faithful. I just pray that you take your word, apply it to our hearts, help people to respond and to be obedient. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, without even beginning to sing, would you respond to